Welcome back to another episode of Mary and Andy Geek Out. We continue our analysis of Season 2 of Teen Titans.
Analysis?
Or geeking out, whatever.
Yeah. Discussion.
Discussion. We focus on three more episodes. Season 2, Episode 4, Only Human, where Cyborg goes through a crisis of how he can push himself further as half-human, half-machine.
We go through Fear Itself, one of my favorite episodes ever, which it turned out I was wrong about last episode. It does, in fact, have Control Freak.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Andy.
It's okay.
He is a red herring.
He is. And then after that, we have Date with Destiny with Killer Moth's daughter, Kitten, and how she forces Robin to go out on a date with her. No, to the prom with her. That's what it was.
It's a date.
Date, either way. But anyway, these three episodes were definitely more on the, fun side? Well, not the Cyborg one, but they were definitely, it seemed like they were more enjoyable overall.
Yeah. I think Teen Titans is, in my opinion, strongest when it's not too continuity heavy. Which, one of the reasons being is, like we've discussed before, they don't really go into, the whole identity thing for superheroes. Like, they are the hero. They're not a person outside of that, you know?
Right.
And I'm trying to think of an example of that.
No, that's okay.
I guess, how in a kid's show, if a character is, a fireman, they're always the fireman and never, a person.
Ah.
Kind of thing.
Well, this is supposedly Terra's season, and Terra hasn't made a return yet, so we still get some pretty good main hero-focused episodes for this one. Really seeking out their relationships, powers, and identities, which is pretty amazing.
Although, I'm going to say the first season wasn't too bad about that. I'm trying to think, is, season 2 darker than season 1? And it's been consistently toned. Mm-hmm. Same balance of really silly humor.
What about that How Long Is Forever, where Starfire goes to the future?
Which was the first episode, yes. But then in the first episode, we have Cyborg almost losing his humanity completely to a guy operating on him. We have Slade's weird obsession with Robin.
Yeah.
And can't think of anything else off the top of my head, but the show doesn't really pull back its punches.
No, it doesn't. Which is kind of why the Only Human episode is, I think, better. I think it's better than the other Cyborg episode with Fix-It. About Cyborg's identity as a half-human, half-machine.
Well, in this case, the conflict is more within Cyborg himself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in that one, while it was horrifying and existential for Cyborg, it also was coming from an external direction.
Yeah. I'm trying to piece together the conflict here, because the conflict in Only Human is Cyborg's own limitations,
yes,
as an individual. But in the conflict in the other episode with Fix-It was more,
give up your human side, it's inferior.
Yeah.
Whereas this, he actually, he was essentially saying how his human side was lost, and that was the problem.
Yeah. I like that. That you can continuously make yourself stronger as an individual, but as a machine, there's only so many limits that can be pushed.
It's also funny to me how the token black character is constantly facing, robot racism.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like, no, your human's part is inferior, you gotta be a full robot. That happens again in this, where Atlas keeps calling Cyborg, on all the humans inferior.
Yeah, half of nothing is still nothing.
Yes.
Atlas is an alright villain, for the most part.
Yeah, I said to Andy that we got Keith Davids,
yeah,
as his voice actor, which is such a waste, because his voice is so beautiful, and Atlas is kind of a nothing character.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they could bring him back, but I don't know.
His only purpose is to serve as a foil for Cyborg's identity.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they can bring the voice actor back.
Oh, the voice actor back, right.
Yeah. I feel like they might not do that so much, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, who's that other one low-voiced character they keep using in all these cartoons?
I know what you're talking about. He voices the black cop in Gravity Falls. I forgot what
his name
was.
Isn't that like Blubs?
Yeah. Anyway. But anyway, speaking of voice actors, John DiMaggio is in this one as well.
Did we double check that?
Yes, I double checked that, yeah. John DiMaggio.
I like to think his voice is distinct, but I have been wrong.
Some of you may recognize his voice as Bender and as
Jake the Dog.
Jake the Dog, yeah. He's two of his more famous roles. And here, he's just a supporting role, but. And he doesn't really have much to work off with, unfortunately. Yeah. So it's kind of a shame how they use these two prominent voice actors.
See, I don't feel quite as bad with John DiMaggio since he's, like, going to be doing stuff in the future, you know, from when that episode was recorded.
Right.
I don't know. When did Futurama come out?
About this time, actually. Yeah.
So he was busy doing important stuff. Keith Davids was not yet.
Yeah. I mean, but he also has a acting career as well, so it's not like he's relying all
on it's not this. Like he's going to complete waste. They just would like him to be a cooler character in Teen Titans.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. We both have colds, by the way, so if we are a bit out of it or our voices sound off, that's what's going on. At first I was confused about Atlas. Because it was introduced very weirdly, because it first showed, like, the conflict of the show first begins with Cyborg not being able to surpass these weights that he's trying to lift, and it pushes him to his limit. His sensors say he's at 100% power and he can't do it, and he gives up. And then later on, he vents his frustrations by playing a video game against an opponent named Atlas, and Cyborg beats him, and it wasn't clear if his opponent came alive from the video game, or if Atlas
Came through the TV. It doesn't come up again.
Yeah. And Atlas, like, through his computer-controlled player, was like, I want to fight you again, for real. And Cyborg's like, yeah, go for it. And then Atlas just shows up suddenly. Like, he books it from his underground stadium all the way to the Teen Titans Tower in the matter of seconds.
Didn't he literally come out of the screen, or am I misremembering?
No, he basically came out of the screen, which is part of the window to display, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
we'll just pretend that's shorthand and Atlas doesn't actually have TV hopping powers.
Yeah, but then it's later confirmed that Atlas just likes to play online video games against opponents and try to beat them up, which is, to me, pretty hilarious to think that this strong fighting robot also likes to play people online.
He started life playing Rock'em Sock'em with people.
Yes.
That no man could test him, so he took to the online arena. Going way back to the beginning. So we have all the Titans training, which is always fun. Beast Boy, as far as I can tell, is just fucking around on the treadmill, though. I don't think he's actually training.
He becomes a tortoise, to a ram, to a
cheetah.
Yeah.
Everyone else is actually fighting. Maybe he's testing how quickly he can switch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But anyway, so what that leads to, everybody stops their training to cheer Cyborg on while he's lifting, like, who knows how many tons. It probably said. What's really cute is while they're cheering him on, like, Raven's just kind of there in the background and doesn't seem to really know how to cheer, but she wants to be part of it, and she's got the same blank face the entire time.
Raven had some really good facial expressions.
Yeah, she was incredibly background, but some storyboarder really liked her.
Yeah, they did a good job making her still fun to look at.
Anyway, Cyborg fails, and he just kind of wants to be left alone because the others don't really get it, although he does explain to Robin the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Then they all try to cheer him up. Which I think is a lesson that we need a whole episode dedicated to, is that sometimes you gotta give people their space.
Right.
They do eventually.
Right.
And what's really cute is the video games actually do cheer Cyborg up.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Yeah, like this, like, he probably wouldn't have needed this whole story arc if they just let him play his video games. Like, you get over it.
That's true, yeah. I think he also feels that, like, playing video games, like, he can improve his reflex abilities, his quick thinking through, like, playing video games as opposed to, like, pure muscle strength.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it. I never thought of it that way.
All right, so when Atlas finally does show up and they have their first fight, it's revealed that the water immediately around the Titan's Tower is not that deep.
Yeah, pretty shallow for the most part.
Yep.
Mainly, like, half a foot deep, if that.
Yeah, they make it look like they're fighting on water, but I guess, yeah, no diving.
Yeah.
Except unless you're Beast Boy and transforming into a whale. God, that had to hurt Beast Boy.
I know, landing directly onto a giant robot as a whale.
Yeah. On the other hand, he should also do that more often.
I know, right? He doesn't do it. Probably because he doesn't have the circumstance necessary to A, transform if they're in a tight quarters, and B, transform into the water.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, landing on your own weight as a whale onto land would be very good for you. Probably break a lot of ribs.
Whale ribs?
Whale ribs.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What happened? Like, do they do that animal? Does Beast Boy go through that Animorphs thing where if one version of him's injured, the others are fine, but he can't transform back into that?
I have no idea.
Like, that was always a good rule, but I'm like, if he injures something he doesn't have in another form, like, will it be fine or will it translate?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe
depends on the writer.
Maybe we'll see more of that later.
Not in this series. You're not supposed to overthink things like that.
Okay.
It's about characterization. It's not about the powers. It's not about the secret identities.
Well, it is about the powers in this episode.
Yeah, fine. It's sometimes about the powers.
Yeah, and about the powers in the Raven episode, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's a few episodes about the powers. The point is, we're not supposed to overthink it.
Right.
Until an episode focuses on it.
Right.
So, there's not much else that happens in the story. The rest of the Titan teams gets kidnapped, so it's up to Cyborg to save them, but he doesn't believe in himself, and he gives up, and then he's like, wait, that's a shitty thing to do, and then he goes back.
Yeah.
And he wins, and he goes over 100% in his fight with Atlas.
Yep.
And John DiMaggio's taught to stand up for himself because...
Well, he's the mechanic. He's the mechanic in this episode. He likes Atlas a lot, but Atlas doesn't treat him with respect, and basically Robin is just encouraging the mechanic on to stand up for himself, and and honestly, like, the side plot has, like, almost nothing to do with the main plot.
Yeah.
There's no, like, similar arc of transformation for the mechanic.
I think the idea is because Atlas kept going on about how robots were superior, and the story's like, no, they're not.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
Because the mechanic is also human, and he can also do great things as well.
Maybe Atlas should build himself a mechanic.
There you go. I don't think Atlas could do anything like that.
No. It sounds like Atlas just plays video games and fights people.
Yeah, that sounds like that's the only thing he's good at.
Yes.
Brings up a lot of questions, like his origins and things like that.
It's like, I just automatically assume the mechanic built it. He's like, yep, I built the superior being. Now it's disrespecting me. Maybe I should have thought this through. Atlas is fighting online, he says he's defeated Derek Wyatt
from
Gotham. Who is it?
It's a storyboard artist.
Oh, okay. Probably should have guessed.
Yeah. One of those few random real name droppings from the cast or the crew.
Yeah, they like doing that in cartoons. don't do that so much in live action stuff, do they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This episode brought up the idea to me of, like, doing a DC alternate universe where you combine the characters of Two-Face and Cyborg.
Two-Face and Cyborg?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So the whole binary thing also has to do with man and machine.
I like that. Yes. That's good.
Yeah, that's in my Batman AU. The one where he has a sister.
Sounds good.
All right. What else? Cyborg. Yeah, Cyborg learns that he can push himself. That's the moral.
Mm-hmm.
He saves the Titans. The robots left to, I guess, just deactivate under an avalanche in an abandoned... What was that? An abandoned stadium?
Yeah, a football stadium by the look of
it. God, what a waste.
I know, right? I
bet Gotham's full of those.
Yeah.
Lots of abandoned wastes of money.
Yeah, I mean, that's Gotham for you.
Yeah, this isn't Gotham, though.
I know. It's just
it's like, got a better economy than Gotham.
Yeah, it's also just, it's relevant to the plot.
Gotham's a villain-based economy.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, overall, not that interesting an episode. Cyborg's always a nice main character, and I find a lot of his conflicts not relatable, but at least understandable.
I like his episodes, too. Yeah. I'm beginning to grow more and more fond of them. He's not egotistical or stressful like Robin, or overbearing and
Or needy like Beast Boy.
Or sensitive like Starfire.
Yeah.
He's a very...
realistic.
Grounded kind of character.
Yeah.
No one defeats Atlas. I demand a rematch.
Anytime, anywhere.
How about here and now?
What?
Atlas is ready. Let the rematch begin.
Not want to start with me, man. Especially not over a stupid video game.
Atlas never loses.
First time for everything.
All right, let's get to the big one. Fear itself.
Yes. Excellent Raven episode.
Mm-hmm.
And our first meeting with Control Freak.
Yep.
Oh, God. I forgot something I wanted to mention in the last episode.
Well, what was it?
Yeah. So the idea of the cold opens.
Yeah.
Like, they're basically saying, this is what this episode's going to be about.
Okay.
So the opening for that episode, it's just Cyborg fails to lift the weights and he leaves.
Right.
And then the credits play.
Right.
And it's like, this episode is about Cyborg being depressed.
Yes.
Like, they don't even, like, introduce an enemy or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we say, this episode isn't about fighting a giant robot. This episode is about Cyborg's issues.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, if I were doing the cold open for a kid's show, I'd at least somehow get the giant robot in there, you know?
Hmm. I don't know.
It just seems too, you know, realism focused, I guess. It's like,
I like it.
We're not promising you an action show. We're promising you somebody dealing with their issues.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that's pretty good. Okay. You don't have to have a giant robot and make it flashy for kids to relate to it.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, if you just saw that, would you think, yeah, I want to see the rest of this? I can't wait to see what happens.
I don't know.
That's Cyborg's deal.
I like Teen Titans inner demons. As a kid. So
yeah,
I
know,
me
too. It's, honestly, you don't... Once kids are hooked on Teen Titans, they're not going to care that much about how the opening is.
Exactly.
I just thought that was interesting that they weren't, you know, trying that hard to be like, hey, get pumped up for action and adventure.
Yes.
Anyway, so that leads me to our next episode where they also, this one has Control Freak in the opening.
Yes.
Who is a huge entitled nerd.
Mm-hmm. The grossest looking antagonist.
I really like his design.
No, it's a good design. Yeah. They've definitely made him very unappealing looking.
Okay, so I'm not sure what the shoulder pads are. I see he's wearing a Jedi robe, and he's got Chewbacca's...
ammo belt.
Ammo belt, I guess so.
Yeah.
Long red hair, which I don't think is a reference to anything. I think they were just trying to make him look gross.
Yeah. And then he's got, like, these sideburns.
And he's not causing trouble because he's trying to steal anything. It's not for power. It's not for money. It's just because he doesn't like that they didn't put a Star Trek movie on the...
on their favorite list.
The movie rental.
It's not Star Trek. It's Star Quest?
Yes, but it's Star Trek.
Yes, but it's Star Trek.
Yes. Right. So... opening, they have this fight. Control Freak's powers are essentially the same as Mumbo.
Yeah.
Because he's got a remote control that brings things to life.
Yeah, only it's anything vaguely...
video related.
Yeah, it's not even electronics related, I think about it. Because he brought, like, a video stand...
yeah, cardboard.
And cardboard to life.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's, it doesn't even have to have even been made of metal to work.
Yes.
You can just will it to live.
Yes. So, yeah. He's powerless himself, but he's got this really, really powerful thing that he wastes on this.
Yeah.
Which is lucky for us. Mm-hmm. I guess lucky for the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
The opening, Beast Boy really gets to kick some butt. Like, he completely demolishes some, like, animated... shelving.
Shelves, yeah.
Yeah. Raven's having a tough time this one.
Yeah.
The opening before the credits roll, it's something about Raven saying she's not afraid, and Control Freak's like, you will be. Because it's a Yoda reference.
It's a Yoda reference.
But also, that's where the essentially, you know, the thesis of the episode.
Yes.
Again.
That's true. That's a good point. Never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
He also called them my little tribble, which is a Star
Trek reference. He also drools a little when he's talking to Raven at one point.
Yeah,
so,
which
ew.
Is weird. Yeah, I wrote down, ew, Control Freak drool. Yeah, I think he drools when he says the you will be line.
Yeah, it's a little earlier.
Maybe. Oh, you're probably right.
Anyway, so a bunch of things they fight. They fight, cardboard cut out of a samurai. They fight a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Cyborg fights some candy.
Yeah, I love that part. And then, like, he just starts eating them all, and then he gets really sick and just starts puking.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, is it because he ate the wrappers or because they were evil?
Probably because they were evil.
Yeah.
I would say because they're evil.
Yeah, I think the control... freak remote powers probably aren't good for your health.
Yeah, or for his body in general.
You fight film reels.
Cash registers. Yeah.
Just, they weirdly went all out for a rental, you know, which doesn't offer that much.
Yeah.
Anyway, Beast Boy notices that, horror movies come out on video.
Wicked scary.
And I want to point out the monster with the hood, it's based on Raven.
Is it?
Yeah, like it's got the hood, it's got tentacles, she does that, and the red eyes.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, when it's still got its cowl on. And I'm not sure if that was supposed to foreshadow the twist of the episode, or it's just sort of to show, you know, Raven's greatest fear is herself.
Ooh.
This is an episode where Raven gets scared.
Yeah, this is a good overall Raven episode. Mm-hmm. I just liked how it was just a fun time of her dealing with her powers and everyone responding to those said powers. It's mm-hmm. super fun. I forgot how great this episode was when we were watching it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... they watch a scary movie. Raven won't admit she's afraid.
Whoa.
What? Did we pass something?
So they put Control Freak's remote into their evidence room. And if you, like, it's kind of like one of those freeze frame references, but in the background on the walls are all sorts of trinkets and trophies and things from their previous fights and other episodes. And I wrote down everything here that they had in their evidence room. And the first one is... Trident's Trident. That was snapped in half, the one with the Aqualad episode. They had their original puppets, along with Puppet King, which solves the question, whatever did happen to Puppet King? They just put him in the evidence room and just locked him up. In puppet jail. Yeah. They have Gizmo's backpack.
Ah.
They have the chips that Robin, as Red X, stole. So he never gave them back, probably because he was worried he would be incarcerated, so he just kept them. And he had a Mad Mod
bust,
as well.
There is also this mysterious...
And Slade's mask.
Yeah. Well, maybe one of the robot masks. Well, I don't think he ever got Slade's actual mask.
Probably one of the other masks, yeah.
There's, like, this weird doll stuffed animal up on the wall.
Oh, yeah, that was
like
weird.
Maybe a teddy bear, kind of green. I don't think that showed up in a previous episode.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what that one was a reference either. But it was pretty fun just to see all that in the background there. Like, the writers didn't forget about their previous episodes.
Yeah.
Which does show some bit of continuity is going on in these series.
Back in that day, that was very exciting.
That was very exciting. We didn't have our Gravity Falls-like-esque episodes or series. But that was fun. And the use of the... It was a good red herring to have, like, the controller kind of be, like... Kind of, like, still staged it in the limelight, like... It might be picked up again.
Yeah. It's like, hey, look at this foreshadowing, guys.
Yeah.
See? The rope. Yep. Okay, bye.
When they were watching the movie as well, it made me reminisce watching movies on, like, big television screens. Like, I remember when I was growing up, there was, like, a friend of a friend or whatever, like, had a big SD TV screen that was, like, 6 foot wide and 4 feet tall or whatever, and just seeing movies on that was amazing. I remember eating, like, the popcorn. What's the sweet popcorn?
Kettle corn?
Kettle corn, yeah. Eating kettle corn and just, like, enjoying these horror movies on a big screen. Like, it's a lot of fun, like, doing that with friends. And that was just kind of, like...
it was a nice moment.
It was a nice moment where they're all watching it and everyone's having a great time.
Being terrified.
Excuse me. Yeah, except for Raven.
Yeah.
She did not like any of this.
Yeah, like, going to the movie's over, they all talk, that was so scary, and then they all start laughing.
Yeah. They were laughing at about how cheesy it was. But
No, they were laughing about how scary it was.
Is it over? I dare not open my eyes to find out.
Now I'm really sick to my stomach.
I've fought psychotic villains, robot commandos, and giant oozing monsters, but that is the scariest thing I have ever seen.
Did I tell you or did I tell you?
Thrilling, Beast Boy. It was wonderfully horrible.
Yeah, when she went into the basement...
And it was right behind her, and she turned, and...
I was freaking out! I wanted to turn it off.
So, then from here on, it really sets it up as a horror, like a parody horror film, with the Beast Boy being the trope-savvy character.
Mm-hmm.
When Robin suggests that they split up, Beast Boy immediately turns into an octopus, grabs them all, pulls them back in, which is a good gag, and then just starts, like, saying how that's a horrible idea. Do not even think about splitting up. And that's a fantastic way of everyone getting killed. And they listened to him. And that was nice. So
yes, Beast Boy is useful.
Yeah, so that was pretty great.
Yeah, and then they all would have disappeared immediately as soon as that happened.
And then he goes, me being the funny guy, I'm going to disappear first. And then he does.
Some funny guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's another trope. Like,
I'm glad they ignored the black guy dies first trope, by the way.
Well, no, yes.
The green guy dies first.
So all the characters represent certain horror tropes in this episode.
Yeah. Starfire's the scared one.
Scared one.
Robin's too competent to live.
Yep. So, Beast Boy's the funny one. Cyborg's the jock.
Cyborg's kind of like the last hope.
Yeah,
like because he's the last one to go. Like he's the one that when you still feel comfortable around him, and as soon as he's gone, you know, there's nothing left.
And then Raven's like the damsel.
Yeah,
the lone girl.
The final girl.
Yeah, the final girl. Which now that I think about, plays in very well with Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. That's pretty fun, actually.
Although the stoner didn't go first. And that would have been...
Well, the stoner was going to go first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but then he survived in Cabin in the Woods.
Right, that's he was supposed to.
We got to watch that film again. I love that film. Anyway, pretty great. Beast Boy goes first. Robin goes next after he's just about to reveal that it's Raven who's controlling it. And then they're still searching for everyone, and then we get this great scene of them like, we haven't searched everywhere yet in the tower. And Starfire is like, oh, you mean? And then they like open the door, and it's to like, the basement. Yeah.
I think she eeped.
She eeped, yeah. And they have to search the basement, which is great.
Yeah. The monster itself.
There's several monsters.
Yeah, the main monster, the one that comes straight from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It takes off its cowl pretty quickly. It's like this tentacly green thing, mouths and eyes everywhere. It's a pretty rad design. Like, that's as scary as you can get in a kid's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then it was putting up a pretty good fight. And by the way, throughout the whole time, Raven's powers do not work in this episode.
Which is our first hint.
Yeah, that's something's going on. And all the while, the characters are making fun of, like, Raven. Or not really making fun, but Beast Boy kind of is about, like, hey, aren't
you... Which is why he's the first to go.
Aren't you scared? And she goes, no, I'm not scared! And she keeps denying it the whole time.
Yes.
And it's great. But I love the basement scene, because then they go... You go and down there and you see all the rats with the four red eyes, which is a big hint. And
the sort of beaky mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're raven rats.
They're raven rats, yeah. And they swarm Starfire and just basically envelop her in, like, a rat mass, and she goes under.
Yeah, which is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we were actually worried about the characters dying, that would have been really traumatic. Although, I would say the scariest one we saw was when, like, Robin gets dragged into a wall.
Yeah, that was great. Because
it's just, like, creepy, and, like, Cyborg punches through, and it turns out there's nothing back there. It's just the outer wall.
Yeah, I agree.
Where the fuck did he go? Even when everything's explained, where the fuck did everyone go?
I know, and they seem so fine afterwards, too. Yeah. They didn't seem very, like, they didn't mention that at all in the final scene. They're, like... about where they went to and why they were still okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they went to, like, a shadow dimension or, like, a... I don't know.
Stasis in a shadow dimension.
Yeah, somewhere. They were just out of the way.
Yeah.
Perhaps they... Since this is Raven, like, powers, like, her powers were still, like, subconsciously under control to the point that they didn't hurt her friends, but, like, I don't know. It's But that final scene, though, where it's just Raven and she's being chased by what I'm calling the Fear Dactyl.
Oh, yeah.
Is amazing. And the Fear Dactyl, speaking as a park ranger, I don't think I would ever recognize this if it wasn't otherwise. But the Fear Dactyl, when it bellows... It's an elk bugling.
Okay, because they got a sort of eerie metallic sound. I was like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard this before, listen to an elk bugle. And it's pretty funny because it's actually, when we're recording this now, September 10th, this is in the prime rutting season of an elk.
That means they're all horny.
They're horny, yeah. And so the male elk will bugle to attract the females, and it's one of the most otherworldly sounds you've ever heard, especially if you're...
It doesn't sound like a bugle at all.
No, yeah. You can hear it on YouTube. There's, like, videos of it, but nothing beats the real thing. But it's a great... I think that was really great for them to choose that kind of sound for it, because it's a little... You need just do a little editing to it, and you get yourself a perfect, like,
otherworldly
creature. Yeah. So, and then that great, that was a great last scene when she's like, she finally accepts her fear, and then she takes, she destroys all the abominations.
The wicked scary monster, though, kept roaring using the same sound clip they happen to use for Gyarados in Pokemon.
Yeah, and so. one of the creatures also sounded like Bowser's roar, too, from Mario.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, from Mario 64, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they reuse a lot of sound clips in this episode. Yeah. But it works.
It saves money.
Why do you think the, why do you think her powers manifested that way?
She got issues.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, I already told you my thing. Like, her worst fear is really herself.
Mm-hmm.
So, it primarily starts with the film, but she knows she's capable of that sort of thing.
Hmm.
So, a lot of it is kind of, like, what she could do if she went full-on supervillain.
Right.
Which, I would love to see that AU, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I think there are a few where she's gone super villain.
Of course, everybody's gone super villain in comics. They either died or they became a super villain at some point.
It's like that Two-Face quote. Either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Wait, did that actually originate from him?
Yeah, from The Dark Knight, from the movie.
No, I mean, that's really where that quote came from. Mm-hmm. I thought he was quoting someone else.
Mm-mm.
Huh.
But anyway, so that was a pretty good, yeah, so I think it's like Raven just not, since her powers manifest in emotions, the fact that she wasn't properly expressing those said emotions means they had to find another way out, like Robin said, to express themselves.
Yeah. She needs to spend more time in that mirror.
Yeah. Robin's pretty smart too.
Yes,
but yeah, overall fun episode. I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
anything else that we should say about it before
let me check
on?
My notes. Oh right, when Raven finally admits she's afraid, her eyes turn black.
Ooh.
I don't think we've seen that happen before or since.
She kind of they kind of turned black.
They've gone red time. I don't think
they turn white when she's doing her powers? I think they turn black.
No, I can't remember.
Remember either now.
Because they,
We'll have to pay attention to that next time.
It's pretty creepy.
Yes.
Also that part where they nearly fell down the elevator shaft.
Yeah.
And what was up with the Titan's Tower?
Yeah. Well, it was on the Fricks because of that thunderstorm,
heightened
her fear.
Pry open the thing. Like, did she just make a drop down with her fear? Like an illusion of that, maybe?
Maybe. They didn't seem too perturbed by it, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
It's a nice episode. Good character interactions, cute, and also very scary.
Yes. Date with Destiny.
This episode is just really funny.
Oh my god. Right? Killer Moth, like, already setting himself up in the cold open as a stereotypical villain, but then, boom, he's the father of this bratty teenage girl named Kitten. Who is also voiced by Tara Strong, and who holds no punches when voicing her.
I wish so badly that we had commentary for this, because I want to know whose idea that was.
Yeah.
Killer Moth is one of those characters that everybody makes fun of. I think he's a Silver Age character. One of his main designs, he's got, like, purple and orange striped stockings on.
Yeah.
Batman the Animated Series has him just as kind of a useless guy, so it was kind of, the design, like, really sets him up as a badass.
Right.
And then ruins it immediately.
Yeah.
Which is really funny.
What's funny is that his plan for city domination was working fine thanks to a swarm of moths.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for his daughter, he'd probably succeed.
Yes.
Which is great. So the plot of this one, basically he forces Robin to go on a date with Kitten.
Who's just been dumped by her boyfriend.
Right. I forgot what his name was.
Fang.
And so basically Kitten's dating Robin.
Or stood up. I think maybe she was stood up.
I can't remember. They had a fight, remember? Oh. They had a fight that they mentioned in the end of the episode.
Mm, okay.
But basically, Kitten's not even dating Robin because she likes him, but to make her ex jealous.
Yes. She wanted someone with status. Yeah. And he was a badass.
Mm-hmm. And she got it.
Yeah. It says Starfire being jealous, which I'm never too fond of, but Starfire is also very funny.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, the whole time, Robin is not going along with this. It's just one of the best sources of comedy in it. Just his, how completely not into it he is.
Yeah, there's a line that his voice actor delivers very well where he's saying to Starfire, like, I don't want to do this. And he sees Kitten and he goes, and I really don't want to. Like, he's really gritting through this. And there's a part where he's at the prom with Kitten, and she goes, it wouldn't hurt to crack a smile, would it? And he literally does crack a smile. You could hear, this cracking sound as he's smiling.
Episode has such excellent comedic storyboarding. The expressions are great.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And also has a weirdly creepy villain aside from Killer Moth. The opening has the Teen Titans chasing this dude who has an entire giant spider for a head.
Yeah. And his body, it's basically
just
like,
just sort of dangles from it.
It's like a human body, and the head is like a spider body, pretty much.
An entire spider.
Yeah, an entire spider. And the body just seems to dangle there, which is just like, makes my neck hurt just looking at it. Because it seemed to me it was just wobble in the whole tussle, so
he's got very strong neck muscles.
I guess.
We don't know his origin. I don't know if he came from the comics or was an original as well.
I would guess original.
Yeah. Although, there's a lot of characters you think, they must have come up with this for the cartoon, and then you look it up and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Nope. I think Control Freak, for one.
That's true. I liked it how Kitten and Fang got back together at the end of the episode, and they kissed.
Oh, so Fang is the spider-headed guy.
Yeah, Fang, yeah. They actually showed Kitten and Fang kissing, which is basically her kissing a giant spider head.
Yeah, it could have looked worse, could have been more drool, or but it could have lasted longer.
I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
That was great.
I can just imagine, like, when they're writing this, it's like, are we really going to animate that? Are we really we animated it.
We animated it.
Okay.
We are so proud of ourselves right now.
Yeah.
And this is, like, one of the first times, I think, that show Starfire has feelings for Robin.
No, it's come up before.
Hmm.
Oh, well, we've had Robin showing feelings for Starfire, but no, she's
really?
Always... What? Yeah, really? When they're on the Ferris wheel.
Oh,
yeah, that's the one where Starfire although she gets more jealous of the friends. Thing,
yeah,
but
more
that
friends.
Definitely was hinting towards the romance toward them.
Right.
Between them.
Right.
Oh.
But... So Starfire being jealous is kind of funny as well.
I still don't care for it.
There's a line that she says that goes, on such occasions, I believe it is customary to wear a dead plant.
That's at the prom.
At the prom, which I loved as well.
God, this episode is so pink also, I want to say. All the backgrounds are just pink, pink, pink.
Yeah.
So if you like pink, you'll like this episode.
Yeah, not even at the prom scene, they're still pink.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, of course it's pink at the prom. It's just weird that it's pink when they're chasing down a spider-headed dude.
Yeah.
So I guess this is the Valentine's episode. Everything's pink. There's a prom.
Yeah.
I want to discuss the fact that somebody actually named that girl Kitten.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Killer Moth himself. I'm not sure. He's probably not very good at naming children, but there was a mom involved at some point.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
I wonder what happened to her.
She might still be in the picture, and she's just like,
"That's a
no,
good,
this isn't happening.
That's a good point. I wonder what happened to the mom. Hmm.
Hmm. Hmm. Who cares? The show doesn't.
The show doesn't. We shouldn't either.
Yeah, I'll find
that. Is Killer Moth an actual person, then?
Oh, for sure.
And a moth costume?
Yeah. Well, their costumes are part of their skin in this cartoon, Andy.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Now, he becomes, in The Batman, he becomes a weird moth mutant. Not so much in this. He might be, he might not be. He's got very moth-focused science. Maybe he mutated himself. Who knows? Like, I'm more curious about how Fang happened.
Yeah, I agree. It is a very, yeah, there's a lot of questions that...
Oh, you know what what scene I want to see?
What?
Starfire getting a dress for prom.
Yeah, that was funny.
Because she has a gorgeous pink dress, and there's, like, this one shot where it looks like they got, like, a completely different studio to draw her.
Yeah.
Like, she's very pretty anime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, slightly more, I wouldn't say better, but slightly more realistic than how they usually draw everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm just imagining her, like, does she... She asks a random human, like, what do you do for prom, please?
And then she just finds a dress and then just takes it.
Yeah, she might know money by this point.
Probably.
Odium! Scandal! Atrocity! These demands must not be met!
Cyborg, clearly, report! How bad is it?
No
bad! Can't hold him off much longer! If you're gonna do something, do it quick!
Out of his mind! If he believes you would even consider such a distasteful...
I have to do it.
What?
It's the only way to save the bridge. The only way to give us enough time to stop Killer Moth.
But...
I have to, Starfire. No matter how much I don't want to. And I really don't want to.
Yes, very good Robin episode. Yeah, I don't care that much for Robin most of the time, but like Batman, excellent for comedy.
Excellent for comedy when he's putting into social situations.
Social situations, yes.
Yeah, so he's pretty great.
Lots of teeth gritting. Speaking of really fun expression stuff, there's a part where Kitten forces Robin to dance with her. Starfire's at the punch bowl. Her... mouth drops off, splashes into the punch bowl. A couple comes up and asks if they can get some punch. She glares at them. Her mouthless face, like, sort of melts open into a horrifying...
I love that so much. Oh, my God.
It's just a beautiful piece of animation.
They've done so many great facial expressions in this entire episode.
Yeah, there's another scene where Starfire and Kitten are fighting, like, on the buffet.
Yeah.
Refreshment table. And there's so many good faces and, like, throwing pies at each other kind of thing. And silly. There's also a part where, as soon as Robin realizes he's in the clear, he tears off his tux.
Yeah, and then it's his... superhero suit underneath it.
Robin wears a tux in this.
Yeah, that's true.
We get different outfits for once. So
yes,
that's nice.
I know, right? For both Starfire and Robin. And now we need to do it for the other three.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Cyborg, Raven, and Beast Boy are trying to deal with Killer Moth. They actually find him because of Kitten.
Yeah. And then they fight him in his creepy basement.
Yes. And there's a part where the moths are all released and they were like, we can't let them get out. And Beast Boy turns into a jellyfish.
Yeah, which works.
Yeah, to seal off an exit.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm like, you chose a jellyfish? Like, I would just imagine as soon as he turns into it, he'd be like, splat.
Yeah, but I didn't think this through.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they manage, and then they...
very pretty jellyfish, too.
Yes, and then they turned off the...
They destroyed the switch, which Kitten had, which somehow undid all their mutations.
Yeah, it reverted them back to, like, larvae.
Yeah.
And then that's where Beast Boy finds...
Silky!
Silky! And...
Continuity!
Raven's like, we are not adopting this. And Beast Boy does anyway. We don't know that he does. We don't see him adopt it. But he does.
Yes.
And we will see the fallout to this in Season 3.
Yes.
But that,
really? It doesn't come back till season 3?
Yeah,
wow.
I actually looked that up afterwards. So he's holding on to Silky for the entire time in his bedroom.
That makes me wonder if the writers actually planned that, or they're like, oh, we did this in the previous episode, let's use that.
I think it's kind of like one of those situations where, like, they leave it open, like,
or maybe it's
we might come back, we might, like, not, and then since they got another season, we're like, yeah, let's come back to this. This was a fun episode to do. Let's do another one.
Bring that killer moth.
Yeah.
I want, Kitten was trying to get Robin to kiss him.
Yeah.
Starfire was freaking out about it.
Yeah.
This is one that, another thing that bothers me. Mm-hmm. Like, when did she learn that kissing was important to humans?
And I thought it was because when she first comes to Earth and she kisses...
She first comes to Earth, she kisses Robin to learn the language.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal to her, but in the movie they're like, so that didn't really count, did it?
Hmm. I don't know. We'll have... Like, sometimes they have to, like, do a...
Retcon
for things like that.
They just wanted more Starfire freaking out, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, Fang comes back. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And he stole jewelry for Kitten. They make up.
Yep.
Then
they fight. Robin and Starfire.
Yeah, it was a beautifully choreographed fight scene on the proms on a cruise liner.
Yep. So that was pretty fun, too.
Yeah. The episode's just really pretty. Like
it is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good, hilarious faces, really pretty. Funny premise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this was another one where, like, Raven was the one that's like, seal the exits, we can't get them out, which goes back to my thing that she's more, like, tactically minded for things that don't have to do directly with fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I vote Raven for second command.
I respect that. But overall, fun episode.
Yes.
In general.
Yeah, and the whole family ends up in the same paddy wagon.
Car, yeah. That was great.
And they do, like, killer moth up like a butterfly, pinned butterfly.
Yeah. And then he sees Fang, and they're like, and they're like, look defeated.
Yeah.
It's great.
And they, like, handcuff Fang's spider legs, which looks really uncomfortable because he's got all that weight on top of...
All the legs are, like, are tied up above his head.
Always creeps me out for some reason when spider legs are, like, pushed together like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. But I guess
they
it's because...
shouldn't do that.
Yeah, they shouldn't do that.
Right.
I don't think there's anything else to add.
Yeah, I think we hit all the good points on that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, should we wrap up this episode then?
I guess so.
All right, what do you think was the weakest episode?
Weakest? Oh, that's tough. Like, in terms of the big picture, probably Day with Destiny. But if it's in terms of individual episodes,
like,
probably Only Human.
I would have to say Only Human as well. I mean, it's a good... There's nothing bad with it.
Yeah.
There's certainly worse, weaker episodes out there. But, like, I don't know, it's just like...
It's one of those ones with the villain that wasn't so interesting.
The villain was kind of like the main reason why it didn't sell for me. Like,
villains are so important for this genre.
Yeah, and if the, like, Cyborg's issues and everything, I respect. I like that.
Yes.
The villain himself, it was okay. Like, he was all right. Could have been better.
Yeah. It doesn't help that his design's just really basic. It's
like
yellow and red robot, man-shaped robot.
Yeah.
You know, at least Fix-It was, like, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
He is a Rock'em Sock'em robot. And I made that joke all right,
baby. I know, but as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, he kind of does look like it. Best episode.
Okay.
This is the moment where Mary has to decide.
Yeah, because it was really fun seeing Date with Destiny again.
I agree.
Although I don't have any issues at all with Fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing major, whereas with Date with Destiny, I don't like jealous Starfire. She had no reason to be jealous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to just go with Fear itself. As delightful as Date with Destiny is.
Date with Destiny is delightful, but I'll have to also go with Fear itself as well. Very fun, horror-centric episode, great use of Raven's powers, I think, and a great antagonist being Raven herself. I think it's just, like, overall, very fun, very neat, tight package overall.
Yeah. Raven episodes are always good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't get enough of those, that's for sure.
Yeah. Would you call A Date with Destiny a Starfire episode or a Robin episode?
I would say it's a Starfire-Robin episode. Okay. Because you have pairing episodes every now and then.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I'd say it's a Starfire-Robin episode. Which I think is the first one, really, for this series.
I'm telling you, the one with Blackfire was a Starfire-Robin episode. It starts with them on a Ferris wheel!
Probably. Well, cool. Wonderful. All right, well, I think we'll wrap this up then.
Sorry, just remembered from the Blackfire episode where she comes up with her hair dyed and like, what do you think of my new look, Robin? He's like, it's pink.
Yeah, he was not into it at all.
Yeah, they like when Robin's not into girls. It's always funny.
Yeah, that's true. Nice. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up then. These were three pretty good episodes. Two definitely fantastic episodes and one like solid Cyborg episode. Tune in next time when we go through the next three episodes. I think we're going to see Terra again next time.
I am anxious about that. Yay.
And I think the next one episode that we're dealing with is Starfire going through puberty as well.
Oh, right.
Which I remember I did not like. When I was young. So we'll see how that changes.
All right.
Sounds good. Until then, please rate us as usual.
Comment, like, and subscribe.
Yep. And if you...
Follow us on LiveJournal.
If you know anyone that's Teen Titan fans... We don't have a LiveJournal. If you know any Teen Titan fans, show them our podcast. That would be pretty cool. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.